Welcome back into the program. It's Friday. It's the end of the week, and a very unassuming championship Saturday is upcoming. We had 13 weeks of drama. Well, I say 13 weeks, more like 11 weeks of drama, and then 2 weeks, the last two, really were void of it because LSU and Alabama took care of business, and it is assumed widely in the college football landscape that those two will play for the national championship. But nothing is a done deal, and as we know, Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma this weekend, and that could give them a boost, perhaps get in there. David Sears is with me, as he is on Fridays. Well, I just want your overall thoughts on this rematch situation between Alabama. I'll say a rematch. I don't know why people keep calling it a rematch. It's the BCS title game between the best two teams. You don't say in basketball, if two teams meet in the Final Four, it's a rematch. You just say it's the Final Four. So what do you think about this whole deal?
It's one of those things where everyone that doesn't like the BCS will always point and say, this doesn't give you the best matchup. They've had their shot. This isn't the real thing. It's just one of those deals where you're not going to make everybody happy. Some people want Oklahoma State and argue that they were suffering a tragedy. I'm sorry, but unless those guys actually had a real relationship with the head women's basketball coach and his assistant, that hardly affected them at all. They had to act like it affected them, but I mean, they had to say the right things. But
they had honestly, a 17-point lead in that game, so don't tell me about that being affected. They had a 17-point lead and they blew it.
And they were playing a four-touchdown underdog. So
right.
It's not like they were playing with heavy hearts and then all of a sudden they hit them at halftime. Oh, no, we've lost our women's basketball coach. We should put it in the tank. It's one of those things where you're not going to make everybody happy. Everyone says Virginia Tech deserves a shot. Well, they've played two teams this year, and they lost by 20-1 and beat the other one by 30. So it's not like they've played great competition. Boise State, everyone's always going to make the case for Boise because they're the darlings, and if they were undefeated, I could see that case. But beating Georgia, then losing at home to TCU is not exactly a great way to do it.
No, it's not.
And then Houston hasn't played anybody. I think their best one is La Tech.
It's going to be interesting to see them play Southern Miss this weekend for the championship of that conference, because they could very easily lose that game.
Alabama's one loss is the number one team in the nation by three.
There's no comparison.
In overtime. Everybody else they've beaten by double digits. The least amount they've won by 16. Everything else has been minimum of 20.
And you talked about Virginia Tech, the only team Virginia Tech has really played other than Georgia Tech, but we'll save Georgia Tech for right now. The only team they've really played is Clemson, and they lost to Clemson badly on their own home field.
And there's an argument for Stanford. Everyone wants to give Andrew Luck his one shot. But when you lose at home by 20-plus, then you're kind of not going to get that shot again.
Done.
I mean, if you lose by 20-plus, it's hard to get back in the championship
Over.
Race.
How about tonight's game with the Larry Scott special, the first ever Pac-12 championship game? Commissioner, of course, of the Pac-12 is Larry Scott, is who I'm referring to. UCLA at number 9, Oregon. UCLA not going to be bowl eligible if they lose this game. Oregon doing very well in the year at number 9 in the country. What if UCLA wins this thing, and how big of a black eye is this for the Pac-12 brand as a whole?
Part of the problem with the Pac-12 is the best team in the South is postseason in eligible.
Right.
Because if this was USC versus Oregon, we get a rematch of that crazy finish in Austin a couple of weeks ago, that wacky Saturday where everybody struggled or lost, then I think they wouldn't have any complaints. But seeing that it is UCLA, a team of 6-6 with a lame duck head coach, with the fact that it's not at a neutral site, you have to put it on campus to guarantee a sellout.
So nobody would show up. If it was at a neutral site, if it was at the Rose Bowl, nobody would show up.
It's a sad thing.
It is a disaster.
They want to be a big time. There's been rumors they put it in Las Vegas, which would technically be a neutral site, but I don't know if there's a stadium that would accommodate, because you need to have something like the Georgia Dome, like the Lucas Oil Stadium.
Which is going to be great.
I think a dome is the best place to play it in. I don't know of any major domes on the West Coast anymore, since Seattle no longer has the King Dome.
Well, you could just go to San Diego. It's always 72 degrees and sunny there.
And that would be fun to play in San Diego, but that stadium in Qualcomm is just so outdated, it's horrible. Eventually, if LA ever gets that downtown football stadium when they move the Jaguars out there, I guarantee you they'll move it to LA and put it in that nice new stadium. But until then, it's going to be there. It's kind of bush league to me. I mean, all the other championship games are at neutral fields. Even the MAC plays at Ford Field. The only one that plays on campus is the Conference USA. Everybody else is in a neutral site. ACC's rotated between Tampa, Jacksonville, and Charlotte. They finally found a home in Charlotte that's kind of equal distance between all the schools. You've got Atlanta for the SEC championship game. It's been that way since 94. It looks like they're going to kind of rotate the Big Ten championship, Soldier Field or Lucas Oil Field. I think they should stay at Lucas Oil. I just think it's
I agree
that the weather won't be a factor. But they're even having
to pull
their out because it's only Michigan State and Wisconsin. And if that game were in Madison, it'd be a sellout. But it's just one of those things where you can't please everybody, and you have growing pains. And every time the SEC has had a problem, they've learned from it, and they've grown up and accommodated it. But the way the Pac-12 will have to handle this is they'll have to say, you know what, we need to have a neutral site where everyone can come to it instead of taking the stadium because it makes us look bad.
Well, let's transition now to the other part of this BCS argument, and that, of course, is LSU. Now, they played Georgia this weekend, number 14, in the SEC championship game, which is always intense and always fun to watch. Now, here's the other part of this argument. A lot of people have made the case that LSU still deserves to play in the national championship game, regardless of the outcome of this game coming up tomorrow. I'm in that camp. I agree. I think LSU's played a tremendous schedule to this point, and they deserve to go regardless of whether or not they win or lose. And I say that with my Mike's Life colored glasses laying here on the desk and not on my face. What about you, Sears? What do you think?
LSU, I agree. If they win tomorrow, he who shall not be named that writes or outkick the coverage makes a very good point that if LSU goes 13-0, they should at least win the AP title. That's a very good statement. They're the only team that went through undefeated, that's in a major conference. They've beaten in a remarkable schedule. They've beaten, that will be, if they beat Georgia, that'll be, I think, their fourth top 10 team.
Yeah, I believe so.
Top 15 team. And they played a remarkable schedule. They've had some really tough road games and one really tough neutral site game. And they've been able to just look really good while doing it. They've overcome a lot of stuff. Quarterback getting involved in a fight off campus when he should have been at home sleeping during 2 days. They're starting tailback in their big play-capable corner-slash-safety, smoking fake weed and getting suspended. They've overcome a lot, and then the transition from Jarrett Lee back to Jordan Jefferson. Jarrett Lee, of course, helping his case by throwing two picks against Bama.
Oh, yeah. Always
but
great.
It's been a remarkable season for LSU, and I think they have a lot going for them. They're a very good team, and they're on the verge of greatness. They may go down as one of the greatest college football teams of all time.
I think you're right. And I think one of the biggest, most remarkable things about their run this year is what you just said a minute ago, the fact that they have not played the majority of the big games at home. We talk about Oregon. That was in Arlington, Texas. Now, you can call that closer to LSU than Eugene, but it's still a neutral site. Mississippi State, Starkville, West Virginia, Morgantown, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, now Georgia, and Atlanta. The only game that's of major consequence that has been on that gridiron in Baton Rouge was, of course, the game against Arkansas. So I completely agree with you that this could be one of the most remarkable things ever. Now, how about the AP trophy? You're an Alabama fan. You're an Alabama guy. If LSU wins tomorrow and is 13-0 going into that big-time BCS matchup rematch, so to speak, with Alabama, do you think they deserve the AP trophy regardless of whether they win or lose?
It depends on what happens in the championship game. If Alabama blows them out, then Alabama should be AP and BCS champion. If LSU loses a close one to Bama, I can see a split title. And, of course, if they win, they'll win it outright. But it just depends on how the game goes.
That'd be the second time LSU's been involved in a split title, because the other one was 2003 when USC won the Associated Press title, and they did not. And they won the BCS.
Yep. And it's one of those things where you'll see you can't really make a decision until you get there.
Right.
You're putting the cart before a horse. Do I think that they've won a do they deserve a share of the AP title, or at least that title? Probably, but it depends. If Alabama comes out and just wallops them, and it shows that Alabama was the better team in Louisiana, then I can see that. But if it's a close loss or a victory for LSU, I think they'll probably end up AP champion.
All right, let's transition now to coaching carousel. A lot of news going on, a lot of moves happening. Rich Rod was hired at Arizona. Urban Meyer was hired at Ohio State. There are still jobs available around the country. Yesterday, Mike Sherman was informed that he will no longer be the coach at Texas A&M. And the word is that he learned that by walking into a recruit's home, and the mom of the recruit told him that. If that is the case, And that is absolutely shameful by the Texas A&M people for allowing him to find out that way. But we'll reserve judgment to see if that's a true report or not. But anyway, a lot of jobs open.
You got to remember, though, the worst way has to be the way Akron was fired.
Oh, my goodness.
The Akron head coach on the way to his mother's funeral driving.
Yeah, you're right.
In a car, and then finding out via, not in the office, but being called on a cell phone on the way to your mother's funeral.
Yeah.
That's a horrible way to be fired.
Yep, you're right. That takes the cake. What about Rich Rod in Arizona, Meyer in Ohio State, and who Texas A&M might get? What do you make out of all these shifts in college football right now?
Urban Meyer at Ohio State, it's interesting and it's sad. It's sad because I think he broke a promise to his family. I know he made a new contract.
He signed a contract, Sears.
I don't think that's a smart idea. There's no way you can half-ass something. You have to either go all the way you know how doing it, or you need to just not do it at all.
Yeah.
And we've seen that he was doing something that was fine through 2008, and then starting the 2009 season, I don't know if he knew that the competition in the SEC was going to get that much harder, or the pressure was on for him to actually, you know, win with the greatest team ever, with the greatest quarterback
right.
ever.
Instead, he got obliterated by Nick Saban.
And he couldn't take the pressure of that. Well, I got news for you. Ohio State is going to turn up the pressure.
Yeah.
They've been bridesmaids several times, 06 and 07. They've only won one title under Trestle, but everyone reserved them. They used to own the Big Ten. Well, when you have to win an extra game on a neutral site, there's no telling what will happen. I mean, just look at the old Big 12 championship game. You had a ton of upsets there, and if it weren't for the ball landing out of bounds with 1 second left, you would have had a huge upset in 2009. So that extra title game will add a whole new degree of difficulty. Urban knows how to deal with it. He played in it three times at Florida, won two, lost one. But it's just going to get harder and harder. And the pressure, if he starts losing to Michigan and he doesn't dominate Michigan, or
yep.
if he can't beat Wisconsin, or who else is in their division? No, Michigan's in their other division.
It is Wisconsin, Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, and Purdue accompanying Ohio State in that division. I'm not sure if that's the leaders, legends, or losers, or whatever, but that is the division with Ohio State. So that's what he's got to go up against. Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, and Wisconsin. And, of course, they play Michigan every year with the cross-divisional rivalry.
I don't see him being very successful at Ohio State unless he goes full tilt.
Reports are out. Now, I don't know if they're true or not, that Dan Mullen is going to Penn State. Do you buy that?
I could see that because he's done about all he can do at Mississippi State.
I agree.
The thing, though, if he can't beat anybody in whatever division he's in, then look for him to get the quick boot there, because I'm just telling you right now, there's no way you can not beat people in your division except for your arch rival. So,
what about Ole Miss? Where do you think Ole Miss needs to go or will go or what?
I think Ole Miss missed the ship on Mike Leach.
Really?
Pun intended. I think a dynamic offense with 2 and 3 Art. Stars and occasionally getting the good recruit from your own state would have been very beneficial there. Ole Miss is a lot of trouble. They're danger of becoming the Vanderbilt, or what Vanderbilt used to be, especially after Franklin signs that new deal and promises of new facilities by 2014 at Vanderbilt. He's going to try to turn Vanderbilt into the Stanford of the South. And you know what? As bad as that SEC East is, they take on the attitude of their head coach, and they can finally break on through and win some of those close games they lost this year. Ole Miss is definitely going to go to the bottom.
Yeah, no question.
The SEC and
there's nowhere else for him to go.
On the rise.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, North Carolina, there's a report right now by CBS College Football that they have interviewed Gus Malzahn, despite his wife's controversial speech. What about him, and what about North Carolina? Where do they go?
Well, Gus Malzahn needs to get out of there while they're getting good. He needs to try to get himself a good job quickly, because if he doesn't, he's going to be an assistant coach for the rest of his life. It's one of those things where he should have got out last year, but I think he felt the money was too good and he didn't really see any jobs he wanted, per se. But he should have gotten out last year, and had he gotten out last year, he probably would have been given a lot more leeway this year. But now he's damaged goods. He looks like a pretty okay guy who had a great player that made his offense look amazing. And it's very similar to...
Well, just
Meyer,
a few years ago, he was in high school.
similar, Urban Meyer looked great when he had Tim Tebow and Chris Leak, but when he loses those two and stuck with Jonathan Brantley, he didn't look as great as he normally should have been.
All right, quickly, the predictions of this weekend's game will start. Well, I mean, you're taking Oregon, right? I'm going to take Oregon. We're both taking Oregon.
I take Oregon, yeah. But I think they actually beat the spread twice. I think they could beat it in the first half and in the second half.
Really? Wow, what is the spread?
32.5.
Yeah, I think you could be right. I don't know. That could be.
UCLA gave up 50 last week to USC. Oregon likes to keep a really quick pace. I can see Oregon easily scoring 35 points a quarter and just completely embarrassing the Pac-12 South champion.
I could see that too. Good pick. How about Georgia LSU? I'm gonna go with LSU.
I like LSU. Yeah. I like LSU. I think they've got a lot going for them. They're starting to click. They're getting their running game going. Aaron Murray's going to have a rough day. I just don't see him being able to do anything against that great LSU defense. Georgia will get a rude awakening, the fact that they haven't played anybody in the SEC outside of... Oh, wait, they haven't played anybody in the SEC outside of South Carolina. So it's going to be rough for them, and I think it'll be a very ugly game in the Georgia Dome.
Big Ten Championship game, Wisconsin versus Michigan State. I'm going to take Whiskey in this one. I like the Badgers to roll over Michigan State and get revenge for that last-second miracle.
I think Kirk Cousins has Wisconsin's number.
Uh-oh.
I like Wisconsin to lose in a Hail Mary. Oh, wait, sorry, that happened the first time. I like Wisconsin to lose by a touchdown. It should be a really good game, but I just don't see Wisconsin winning.
I believe that would be three in a row now for the Cousins machine against the Badgers, so that would be interesting. Virginia Tech, Clemson. Alabama fans, I think, are pulling for Virginia Tech because they want to keep that pressure on Oklahoma State playing Clemson in a rematch. Do you think Frank Beamer's squad can get it, or does Clemson have their number this year? I'm going to take Tech. I think Tech gets them this time.
Depends on how healthy Sammy Watkins is. If Sammy Watkins is 100%, then I'm taking Clemson. But if he's 80%, I'll still take Clemson, but really close. But if he's anything less than 80%, I think Virginia Tech wins. But right now, from what I'm hearing, Sammy Watkins is about 80%, so I'm going to take Clemson.
Well, it's the battle of the Oklahoma schools, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and obviously Oklahoma State has a shot, maybe a small window, but a shot at getting into the BCS championship game with a win here. It's in Stillwater. I'm just not going to go against this team. Plus, Oklahoma has been riddled with major injury after major injury, from defensive line to Ryan Broyles to everybody on their team that is significant. So I'm going to take State in this one. Not big, but not close either.
I'm taking the over in this one. I don't really think anything will go on that wouldn't be too expected. Both teams have really good offenses and suspect defenses. It's going to come down to who has the ball last. And I think that's going to be Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma by about 4 points. I think this game will be really fun to watch offensively. But if you're a defensive fan and want to see a defensive slugfest like Alabama LSU, don't. And one side note, I read Rick Riley's column today calling the Alabama LSU game a snore fest. Mm. I'm sorry, but defense is a lost art in this day and age. Everyone wants to have these flashy offenses. And you know what? When I've seen these flashy offenses go against awesome defenses, they've both been just exposed. I'm sorry, the offensive has been all exposed. Oregon only scored 19 points against Auburn. That was against the average SEC defense. The Ohio State show shut down in 2007 and 2006. Oklahoma was the highest scoring offense of all time. Only managed, I think, 14 points or less against Florida in the Orange Bowl championship game. So don't give me these offenses are great. A great defense will win you a championship. A great offense will carry you to a championship, but it won't necessarily win you a championship.
Was it Steve Young who was on the NFL postgame show Monday night talking about he'd rather have a stick a fork in his head than watch Alabama and LSU? Come on, Steve. You played at Brigham Young. They don't even play defense. Do they field defenses out there? I don't think they do. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
It's just one of those things where a great defense is underrated, and you'll always have people saying, oh, it's boring. What do you expect? You have the best two defenses in the nation going against two top 25 offenses. I guarantee you put Oklahoma State against LSU or Bama, Oklahoma State's offense will be shut down because – the front lines of Alabama and LSU would cause havoc for Wheaton all day long. It's one of those things where Oklahoma State, yeah, they played a great Big 12 schedule. Whoop-de-doo. you have, according to Sagarin rankings, Texas A&M, 6-6, is the 12th best team in the nation.
Wow. Well, that shows you what Sagarin's worth, about 2 cents.
I mean, how do you legitimately say they're the 12th best team in the nation? The Big 12 is...
Well, they were for a half, Sears. You forgot the first half.
Conference. They have two pretty good teams, one good team, and a lot of mediocre teams.
Let me tell you how that works, though. The Sagarin ratings favor, and the computer rankings for the BCS favor the Big 12 because of their 9 conference games. And that's I don't think that's a fair playing field, but they favor them because of their 9 conference games, and that's just because they're now playing 9 instead of 8, and everybody else plays 8. Just the truth of the matter, right? That's unfair.
Yeah, I believe the Pac-12 still plays 9. I believe the Pac-12 still plays 9.
Well, okay, maybe they do. Anyway, sir, it's a great conversation. And by the way, about the SEC's defense, as Les Miles said, when in the SEC, the contact on the field is very sincere. Sears, we'll talk to you next week. It should be great as the BCS standings will be out, and they'll either be mass jubilation or, well, I don't even want to think if Alabama doesn't get in.
Well, we know Alabama's playing in New Orleans. We just don't know which day.
That's right. David Sears, everyone. My name is Jacob Bunn. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week.